Acts chapter 9, verse 26 through 31. My dear friends, this is the inspired, therefore infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word of God, sufficient to make us wise unto salvation and equip us for good works. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. So my dear friends, this morning we finally come to our last sermon series in the book of Acts. And I truly appreciate your patience and your understanding that you have shown me, even though I decided to spend extra Sunday in this marvelous book. And although I am, you know, beset to end our sermon series on the book of Acts, well, I'm also excited to jump into next sermon series once we wrap up our journey in this marvelous book together. But now, some of us might be wondering right now why I am not preaching through the entire book of Acts. And in case you're wondering this, well, let me answer it this way for you. Perhaps some of you remember what I said when I first ventured into this book of Acts, or when we first ventured into this book, and I said that Christ Presbyterian Church is a loving church, that Christ Presbyterian Church is a committed church, but also that Christ Presbyterian Church is a small church. You know, when I first visited Christ Presbyterian Church about 9 months ago, you know, I knew very well of its history, you know, the difficult and painful time of decline and tension that you went through in its old days. And when I first came to Christ Press and preached my first sermon, I think we only had about 10 to 12 people attending here, you know, just listening to my sermon. So I really thought Christ Presbyterian Church and its faithful remnants needed to hear messages that could rekindle the spirit of evangelism, that could give them hope of resurgence of our community. You know, I wanted to encourage Christ Presbyterian Church. I wanted to communicate to this church that a small church can do big things for God, that a small church can experience big grace from God. And I thought there was no better book in the Bible to see this precious truth than the book of Acts. The book that testifies of how Jesus Christ bore a church in Jerusalem that looked so feeble and so small in the eyes of the world and turned the world upside down with him. So you see, if you remember, last nine chapters of the book of Acts, you know, Luke testifies to us of many reasons why the early church should have lost their hope and courage to continue their community. For example, in Acts chapter 1, the apostles were disheartened by the absence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, we have seen how the early church was faced with persecution, threats, and dangers from the religious authority of Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 5, we have seen how there was internal tension and conflict within the church community. And in Acts chapter 8, we have even saw how the great apostle Saul, a great persecutor Saul, rose against the church to destroy the church once and for all. But the book of Acts also testified to us that the early church persevered. Not because they were able in themselves, not because they were strong in themselves, but because the Lord Jesus Christ sustained them. You see, when the apostles were disheartened by the absence of the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 2 testified to us that Jesus poured upon the early church his Holy Spirit. When the believers and the early church was faced with the threats and the dangers of persecution from the religious authority of Jerusalem, Acts chapter 4 told us how the Lord Jesus Christ poured upon them the courage and boldness to preach the gospel to our people around them. And in Acts chapter 8, when we saw how the great persecutor Saul rose against the church with his murderous threats to consume everything in his way, well, we have seen in Acts chapter 9 how the Lord Jesus Christ himself subdued this murderous beast and turn them into the instrument for his name. And as if that was not marvelous enough, in today's text, Luke now gives this comforting and encouraging conclusion of all matters. As he wraps up the last nine chapters of the book of Acts, in this way, in verse 31, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace. So this morning, I think we come to a perfect place to wrap up our sermon series on the book of Acts, because today's text teaches us for the one last time why Christ Presbyterian Church, and for that matter, all churches around the world, can expect bright tomorrows as we pray for the resurgence, revival, growth here in our communities. So my desire this morning is to walk through Acts chapter 9, verse 31 with you, and examine with you why we can expect bright tomorrows here in Christ Press. But before I do this, please allow me to submit this proposition to you, this big picture, big idea from today's text, so that you will know where we are going with today's text. So my dear friends, according to Acts chapter 9, verse 31, Luke teaches us that Christ Presbyterian Church and all churches around the world can expect bright tomorrows because Jesus Christ gives peace to his churches and that he builds them for their well-being. Let me say it again. According to Acts chapter 9, verse 31, Luke teaches us that Christ Presbyterian Church and all churches around the world can expect bright tomorrow because Jesus Christ gives peace and builds his churches for their well-being. Well then, let's jump into this morning's message. And once again, today's text unfolds to us as Luke gives us this encouraging and comforting conclusion of all his accounts. That is, he testifies to us that the early church in Judea, Samaria, and Galilee got to enjoy an unexpected season of peace after 3 years of intense persecution. I mean, just like how an airplane passed through a violent turbulence and the people get to enjoy relaxation, people get to relax when they're in the peaceful sky. Well, today's text testifies to us that the early church made it, that they have finally passed through the storm, this violent storm of persecution after 3 long years. But now I think this unbelievable conclusion begs us to ask this important question. That is, what caused the persecution against the church to cease? I mean, what was it that caused the religious leaders of Jerusalem and the Jews to stop persecuting the early church, when it seemed as if they were determined to destroy the church once and for all? What was it that caused the persecution against the church to stop? Well, in order to find answer to this question, let's jump into the first point of today's sermon, that is the divine purpose for peace of a church. The divine purpose for a peace of a church. As Luke begins in verse 31, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace. Now, unfortunately, today's text doesn't really tell us what external factors caused the Jews and religious authority to stop persecuting the early church in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea. I mean, all that Luke tells us in today's text is that the early church had peace after long years of suffering. But there are different scholars and pastors in our world who offer different opinions and speculation as to what could have contributed to this sudden and unexpected season of peace and quiet for the church. For example, some pastors argue that the religious authority and the Jews could no longer persecute the church because after Saul, no capable man rose against the church to persecute them. I mean, after all, persecuting the church is not only a dirty work, it's a difficult work. It's a demanding work. As you may remember, it's a work that requires a person's commitment and willingness to go above and beyond. And the reason why Saul was such a powerful and great persecutor was not only because he was successful and effective, but also because he was willing to go above and beyond to destroy the church in different cities. I mean, if you remember from Acts chapter 9, we were told that Saul was willing to go 5 to 6 days' journey. He was willing to travel 130 miles just to destroy church in different city called Damascus. And some people think that no such man was found to continue the work of Saul after he became a Christian. Hence, that the church experienced a season of peace. But some scholars then suggest that the religious leaders and the Jews could no longer persecute Christians because of the political paradigm of the time in Israel. You see, if the historical time frame of Acts chapter 9 was around 36-37 AD, this was the time when significant changes were happening in the political field of Jewish world. For example, a Roman governor named Pontius Pilate, I'm sure everybody knows who Pontius Pilate was. Well, he was replaced by another Roman governor named Vitellius. And when Vitellius came into power, he also replaced all the existing high priests who was hostile against Jesus and his followers, and he promoted peace and stability in his rule. So these scholars argue that because of such changes, that the religious authority and the Jews could no longer persecute the church. But even though we do not exactly know what caused the persecution to stop against the church, we do know from today's text what came through this unexpected season of peace and quiet for the church. For example, read with me verse 31 of today's text again. Luke testifies to us in this verse, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up." In other words, according to today's text, Luke wants us to understand that the season of peace and quiet, which the early church unexpectedly enjoyed, they unexpectedly received, it brought much spiritual and numerical growth for the church. You see, today's text wants us to understand that the time of peace and quiet for the early church was not the time of idleness or laziness of the church. You know, when we think about peace, we often picture ourselves sitting on the Bahama beach with cocktails in our hands, thinking about how life is so good under warm sunshine. You know, when we think about peace, we often picture ourselves laying on a couch or laying on a bed, binge watching YouTube or binge watching Netflix or reading your favorite books without worrying about your work, you know, without worrying about deadlines for your schoolwork and so on. You know, for us, many of us, peace is a worry-free life, anxiety-free life that can easily turn into idle and lazy life. And just to make sure, today's text testifies to us that the early church certainly enjoyed such carefree and worry-free life after being under intense persecution for 3 years. But at the same time, Luke also wants to understand that the early church did not remain idle or lazy, but that they made a good use of this unexpected season of peace. We are told that their hands and feet were busy building each other up, building their friends up, building their family up, building their gathering places up, which were undoubtedly destroyed and disorganized under fierce persecution. So the season of peace, according to today's text, was no other than the season of edification and spiritual refreshment for believers. But now, Here's what's more important for us to notice from today's text. That is, today's text testifies to us that not only the early church was built up, but that it also tells us that the early church was being built up. In other words, today's text testifies to us that there was someone else other than the believers of the early church. There was someone other more powerful than the believers of the early church, someone more interested than the believers of the early church, who personally and intimately involved himself to build the body of Christ up. So who was this mysterious and intimate force at work? Who was it that built up the body of Christ in Judea, in Samaria, and in Galilee? Well, I think the only answer we can think of, only right answer to this question, is that it was the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. You see, today's text does not merely tell us that the early church enjoyed rest and peace, but rather it testifies to us that it was the Lord Jesus Christ who gave to them their much needed rest and refreshment. And not only that, today's text testifies to us that the Lord Jesus Christ personally and intimately involved himself and that he built his church up for their spiritual well-being. So in this way, my dearly beloved, today's text testifies to us of the divine purpose for peace, that Jesus Christ gave peace to his churches to build them up. And accordingly, I want us to pause here for a moment for the way of quick application, because today's text testifies to us of one important reason, one sure reason why Christ Presbyterian Church and all churches around the world can expect bright tomorrows. And that is because today's text testifies to us that our Lord Jesus Christ gives peace and he builds his church up. You see, what we must understand from today's text is that it is not I, the pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church, can build our community up, even though I must work to that end by working hard for it. What we must understand from today's text is that it's not even the session of Christ Presbyterian Church that can build our community up, even though it must work to that end by making wise and difficult decisions and by tending the flock well. What we must understand from today's text is that it's not even the members of Christ Presbyterian Church who can build our community up, even though we must work to that end by accepting each other, by loving each other, by walking with each other, by loving each other with all our heart. But what today's text wants us to understand is that the future of Christ Presbyterian Church, it's not in our hands, but that it is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's good news, because today's text testifies that he gives peace and that he builds his church up for their well-being. So we must pray, my dearly beloved, that the Lord will give us the season of peace. Peace for the good of people here at Christ Press, and that he will build us up for our well-being. And in the similar manner, we must also pray for this peace and the restoration of churches all around the world as well. You see, I'm sure many of you understand that there are many Christians around the world, many of our brothers and sisters around the world who are experiencing the exact persecution, same persecution, which the early church had experienced in Acts chapter 8. You know, especially those who are living in 1040 windows. It is often called the Bible-resistant belt. That is located, the countries that are located and populated by Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists. There are many believers who are persecuted and destroyed daily for their faith. So we must pray that the Lord will give the unexpected time of peace and quiet and refreshment for these Christians. And that the Lord will build them up, just as he had done in today's text. Well then, let's return to today's text. And as you can see, Luke does not only testify to us why the early church in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria grew in the time of peace, but he also tells us how they grew in this unexpected season of peace. So let's jump into the last point of today's sermon, that is the divine way for the growth of the church, the divine way for growth of a church. As Luke continues and writes in verse 31, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. So as we can see from today's text, Luke testifies to us that the early church continued to multiply when the persecution against it ceased. I mean, it seems to me as if that more and more unbelievers began to embrace Christian faith and that they confessed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when the danger of persecution disappeared in Israel. But interestingly now, Luke gives us two specific manners, two specific ways that contributed to the growth of a membership in the early church. You see, today's text testifies to us that the early church membership exponentially exploded, not because people were drawn to the church building of the early church, not because people were drawn to the church program of the early church, not because they were drawn to the worship style of the early church, not even because they were drawn to the apostles of the early church. No. Today's text, my dear friends, testifies to us that the early church exploded in its membership, in its members, because the early church believers were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So I think we have to ask this important question. That is, what did Luke mean by believers walking in the fear of the Lord? I mean, what did Luke mean by that believers walked in the comfort of the Holy Spirit? What did that look like exactly in real life? I believe the best way to understand what Luke is saying here is this. I believe that when Luke said that the believers walk in the fear of the Lord, that he's telling us the entire manner of conduct, the entire manner of conversation, entire manner of life of the early church believers was consumed with God. I believe he's telling us that their minds were fixed in the word of God and the sweetness of the law of God. I believe they are telling us that, Luke is telling us that the believer's heart was fixed upon Jesus Christ and that they could not help themselves but to meditate, contemplate upon the loveliness of Christ and all the works that he had done for them. I believe when Luke said the believers walk in the fear of the Lord, that he meant there was a distinctive and real sense of touch of God, a presence of God in believers' life, that all others could evidently observe it from them. And in the same manner, when Luke testified to us that the believers walked in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, I believe he's saying that believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit's guidance, his exhortation, his consolation marked their lives remarkably and evidently. In other words, when the hearts of believers were downcasted, I believe Luke is telling us that the Holy Spirit gave these encouraging words to the believers in Psalm 43, verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for once again, I will praise him. When believers were suppressed by guilt, when they could not swim out from the guilt of sin that they have committed, I believe Luke is telling us that the Holy Spirit reminded them of these wonderful words from Psalm 3. Oh Lord, you are my shield and my salvation, the lifter of my head. When the believers were downcasted and overwhelmed by the sorrow of lives they have lost during persecution and after, I believe Luke is telling us that they walked in the comfort of the Holy Spirit And that the Holy Spirit reminded them of these comforting words from Psalm 116. Precious is the sight of the Lord. In the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. And this is why many unbelievers were drawn to the early church. Because they knew that God was in their midst. Because they knew that God was in their heart. Because they knew that God was in their congregation. And as such, this text testifies to us that the early church and its believers multiplied by the manner of, by the way of, in the way of walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And in this way, let me pause here very briefly to ask a question to our members here at Christ Presbyterian Church. Should the Lord continue to build us here in Christ Press? Because the Lord has been doing wonderful things in our congregation. We actually had a tremendous growth over 9 months. And should the Lord continue to build us here in Christ Press? Why do you want people to attend Christ Presbyterian Church? I mean, what do you want to cause the growth of our membership? What do you want to cause the growth of our attendance and our size here in Christ Press? Do you want people to come to Christ Press because we have an elaborate Christian program? Do you want people to come to Christ Press because we have a fancy building? Do you want people to come to Christ Press because we have a good preacher? Well, these are certainly good things. And these are certainly something that we want to hear from people. But let me tell you, my dear friends, these are just temporary and vulnerable things. Things that can change anytime. And my prayer and desire is that Christ Presbyterian Church will grow and people will join us because we are a community of people, surrounded a community of people, consumed with the fear of the Lord. Because we are a community of people who walk in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I want people to join us and speak about Christ Press, saying God is truly among this congregation. So let us devote ourselves to the fear of the Lord. And let us pray that the Lord will help us walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And accordingly, let me also speak to our regular attendees and visitors here in Christ Press right now. We all have different needs, and we are all looking for different things from a church. Some things are necessary things. Some things may not be necessary things. But if you do not have a membership in a local congregation right now, you should really discern carefully as to which church you should join and attend. And let me exhort you, as the minister of God's word, to look and join a congregation that is distinctively and evidently marked by the fear of the Lord and comfort of the Holy Spirit. And that if you are already a member of a local congregation, let me also exhort you, pray that your congregation, pray that your church will be known to be a church of fear of the Lord, church that is filled with the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Pray that the Lord will bless your church and your congregation and then cause them to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Because that is a church where you can grow. Because that is the church where you can mature. Because that is the church where you will meet God in your life. So, dearly beloved, we now come to the conclusion of today's sermon. In today's text, we have seen the divine purpose for peace and the divine way of growth according to Luke. And this is where I want to leave our sermon series on the book of Acts. That Christ Press can hope for bright tomorrow. And all churches can hope for bright tomorrows. Because it is the Lord Jesus Christ who gives peace and builds his church up. So let us pray to this marvelous end. That the Lord will give peace to us. That the Lord will build us up. that the Lord will make us body of Christ that is distinctively and evidently marked by the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Let us all pray together.